Welcome to Good Hope Church with Pastor Billy Bryson. We praise God for every listener and ask that you like, follow, and rate this podcast so we can reach more people for the kingdom. I pray for open hearts, open ears, and the blood of Jesus to cover everyone that hears my voice. Now let's get into the Word. Amen.
Teaching on, I call it inner healing and deliverance, but it's called a greater dimension in Christ. If you will, turn with me to Revelations 21. And most of you are probably catching on by now that Revelations 21 and 8 has recorded 8 categories of sins. These 8 categories of sins, we need to pay close attention to. I ask that you pray for me today. The enemy's really working, trying to hinder me in my body. But I thank God for Brother Tommy grabbing a hold of me there and just ministering to me. I could use the strength. Yes. Praise the Lord. But nevertheless, we're going to minister the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Revelations 21 and 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and all sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, the more I study the eternal Word of God, I realize I don't want nothing to do with those 8 categories of sins. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." That means you and I. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Those 8 lists of sins that shall not inherit the kingdom of God, you'll find that all sin can be grouped or numbered in those 8 categories throughout your whole New Testament. There are some link to one of those 8 categories. Today we're going to go back. Last week we talked about the sin of unbelieving. Just so you know, it did not record. So either I will later do that whole thing again and just be led of the Spirit. But we'll make sure we get you that information. So it's important for you to take notes, because this is the eternal Word of God. This will help you walk the straight and the narrow. This is something that all churches need, that we might have the fear of God in our life. How many of you want the fear of God in your life?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You need the fear of God so that you can shun from the evil the enemy will try to send your way. Last week we talked about the sin of unbelieving. Unbelief literally means stubborn refusal to hear. You find there's people that are unbelievers. They say, "Well, I don't believe there's a God." Atheists will say one thing. Others will question the very thing that we're doing this moment, teaching the Word of God. Some will say it don't take all that. But unbelief means stubborn refusal to hear. Not the inability to believe, but choosing not to hear. Tuning God out. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. We're going to give an example before we go into today's teaching. We'll pick up from last week, Matthew chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. There's an interesting story here. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And let's just start about verse 20. Now, this is a story about John the Baptist. We know John was anointed of God. He preached the Word of God. Mark 6 and 20. It says, "For Herod feared John." John was a prophet of God. knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. So Herod was a king. He observed John. And he heard him. He did many things and heard him gladly. Verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estate of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he swore unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charter the head of John the Baptist. Verse 26. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. I'm going to stop right there. We note here that King Herod was a wicked man. He was an adulterer. John plainly told him truth. He said, you cannot have your brother's wife. Now, Herodias didn't like that. Conviction will make you uncomfortable. And it's sent to make you uncomfortable. They always say that when you hear truth, it'll make you mad, usually before it'll set you free. Because there's a devil usually involved, and the devil don't like you. It don't want to hear truth. It don't like the light. And so here we see that John the Baptist, he spoke of the king, of King Jesus. And Herod heard him gladly. He said, tell me again, tell me about the story of the time he healed the blind man. See, Herod had an ear to hear. But yet, Herod was a man that he loved the honor of people. Now, he got all hot and bothered because this belly dancer was dancing in front of him. And he said, whatever you want, I'll give it to the half of my kingdom. Well, he had no idea that the devil was going to say, I want John's head. He thought there was going to be some pleasure involved in this for him. But he was very sorry about John. Now, the scriptures teach that it was a convenient day. It wasn't convenient for John, was it? He got his head pulled. But nevertheless, that's a prophet's honor. You're going to go a different way. You very well could. Some of you could go a different way. You just obey God. Speak the truth and lie not. So we see here that stubborn refusal to hear, Herod did not want to belittle his friends. He knew that he wanted, for the oath's sake and those that were in his company, he had to keep his word. You know, Herod is a man on record here that we see. I would not want it on record that I had to have a man of God's head pulled. But for the people that sat by, he kept his oath's sake. Today on your sheets, we're talking about the sin of liars. The King James says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And if you'll note on your sheet, it talks about there's a desire of self-image. Now, these two are closely related. Unbelief and lying. Because of the principality of oneself. You know, you and I want to have a good image no matter where we go. We want people to think highly of us. We want to feel like we're in. We don't want to not be in. We want to be in the in crowd. But on your sheet, you'll note that the love of self-image. Now, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. We're going to find out about lying and liars. Why does a person lie? Why did you lie one time or another? We're going to find out about this a little bit. Acts chapter 5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remaineth, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Now we're going to stop right there. Praise the Lord. You see, lying is very hypocritical because it's deceit. It displays not the truth, right? And people do it all day long. And they say, well, salesmen do it. And, you know, and people lie to the salesman, say, I'll be right back. And no, they ain't coming back. We find that it's the Bible talks about people will be deceiving and being deceived. So a person that lies is trying to get favor from another, trying to project image. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at something here that the religious leaders did. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll pick up at verse 5. Concerning prayer. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Everybody say, seen of men.
Seen of men.
You see, people that walk in hypocrisy, they're trying to project an image that's not really true. People do it all the time. And in the Greek, to be seen of men, it literally means to shine or to illuminate. People that do wrong, that operate in deceit, most of the time they're selfish and they're trying to do things that it may benefit them in the manner that they can illuminate. A selfish person always does what best for them. You know, the Bible says that every way of a man in Proverbs is right in his own eyes. Every action of a man or woman is right in his own eyes. You have to agree with what you do to do it. In other words, if you do something wrong, you're deceiving yourself by your own spirit. Remember in Romans 2, 15 and 16? It says that we have the law of God written in our heart and in our minds. Our conscience, meanwhile, accusing us or excusing us. You see, let me ask you something. Is there anything too difficult for God?
No.
Is there anything God can't do?
No.
Are you sure? Mom? God says, I cannot lie. He cannot deceive you from His Word. That's out of Numbers. And it says, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. So there is something God cannot do. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. He cannot be false to you according to His Word. But there's nothing too difficult for Him to do, but He cannot lie. And so most of the time deceit comes, or we operate in deceit, is because we're trying to project a different image. We don't like the image we hold, so we're trying to project a different image. We're wanting to illuminate. We're wanting to shine. Remember, the root of all evil is what? Love of money, which in Greek means fondness for silver, and that which shines. So this shining is something Lucifer wanted to do in the beginning, right? What was the first sin in the Bible? There was a lie. The devil lied to Eve. Yeah, you can eat of that tree. You won't surely die. Right? So he, in the Bible, says he's the father of all lies. So he wants to illuminate. He wants to shine. And that's what we do. You know, we're made of the dirt. We want to shine. And I know there are some people, it's been noted, they're professional liars. Every other word, you know, you don't know whether to trust it or you don't know, you can't believe nothing they say. And you get excited because you think, no, they got off track. They went left. They're wanting to project a good image. Now, last week we talked about the love of honor. Excuse me. Jesus said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Right? Jesus also said, how can you believe if you receive honor one of another? If you seek the honor of man, you cut off the power of God because you want man's approval. See, if you follow God, you're not going to get man's approval. You're not going to get man's approval. Your light is going to shine on his darkness. That's why John got his head cut off. But he has a great eternal reward. Now think about Ananias and Sapphira. Now here is a time in the book of Acts. This is the book of actions of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was moving. The power of God was being ministered. I mean, you talking about revival. The doors of the church were open 24/7. You know, a lame man sitting at the gate, you know, and looked upon Peter and John and said, hey, why do you look on us? They said, for such as I have, we give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man rose up and he went leaping and dancing and praising God into the temple. And people were trying to get under Peter's very shadow to be healed. This is the revival of the early church. Acts 3 and 21 says there's going to be a restitution of all that kind of stuff before the Lord comes back.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm around. Ain't you?
Yes.
It's never been as dark as it's been right now. And there's some things that God is going to alarm you with because He's going to give His people's attention in the earth. This Revelation 21 and 8 is something we thought we'd take a few weeks to teach, but it's going to take months to teach this. That's okay. It's okay with me. It's okay with God. But God wants to get the church's attention, and we need to understand that there's some things that are coming if we'll be true to ourselves and we'll admit we're not where we need to be as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not where we need to be. You know, I shared with a man the other day. I'm going to get off the track here. I told him about tribulation works perseverance in the book of James. I said, if we won't fast and pray, guess what? God will see to it that we'll fast and pray. If we won't humble ourselves on our own will, God will see to it that we'll be humbled. Because He's going to have a people, He's going to have a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, right? No deceit, no lying. Every man should be true to his neighbor. God's going to have a people. And I want to throw this in here while I'm on this side road here. The problem that's going on in the Gulf with this oil that they can't seem to get stopped. Ain't that interesting? You see, a prophetic insight to that shows us that if we as a people, God has a pattern all through the Bible. If we won't humble ourselves, He just gets tired of ugly sin and He brings a famine. Now think about the water supply. If the water gets contaminated, guess what? You don't drink. This thing could be bigger than what we ever could imagine. And the church is being lulled to sleep because we don't see that they can't stop this thing. Huh? Now, I ain't prayed a whole lot about it, but God awakened me to the fact that the Word of God teaches that in the book of Judges that God was angry because of sin and deceit. And He caused a famine. 2 Kings 6 and 25. I'll give you the address for you can study it later. But this famine got so devastating that dove dung. Y'all know what that is? Dove dung. Bird mess. Famine was so bad that people would literally pay a day's wages. I'm sorry, a week's wages for two scabs of dove dung to eat. Because a haughty people would not humble themselves and cry out to God. God wants His people to willingly come to the altar. You know, willingly. I don't have to put you under conviction. Come to the altar when you need to come. Get on your knees when you feel like God's saying you get on your knees. Submit to God. You know, we sing a song that says, on bended knee I come and don't nobody bend a knee. That's deceit. If you've got somebody leading you in worship and you don't submit to them, you're in rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is as sin and witchcraft. Now we'll get into that down at the end of the chain here, but I'm just trying to awaken your consciousness to doing what is right. Because you have to defy your conscience in order to lie. You have to. Think about it. And you know as soon as you tell a lie, boy, that didn't even feel good. And if a person is real sensitive looking at you, they can see your body language. You just lied to me. Huh? How many of you knew when somebody was lying to you? I mean, you didn't take a great big discernment to figure it all out. You just dismissed it. You just erased that part out of the conversation. But it's important to know. Now, here's what Shakespeare said. If a man will be true to himself, he cannot be false to any man. If you will be true to yourself, you make a mistake. Yeah, I made a mistake. I missed the mark. God forgive me. Be merciful. If you be true to yourself in everything you do, you will not be false to any man. You'll sleep better at night. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Sapphira, they wanted to shine. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 5. Let's spend some time with this. You see, the Bible says that in the early church, Everybody had all things common. If you had more than enough and your brother or your sister was in need, you willingly gave it to your brother and sister in Christ. The Bible says for the church to labor to give to every man that hath need. That's why you work more than 40 hours, by the way. That extra is supposed to be given to somebody else that's in need. Therefore, you crucify covetousness, which is idolatry, and you can serve the Lord. Covetous, having and or holding and desiring more. And no covetous shall inherit the kingdom of God. So Acts chapter 5, we see here Ananias and Sapphira. Now Peter said, why has Satan... Peter discerned this. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie into the Holy Ghost? Because they wanted to shine. God bless you. They wanted to shine. They wanted to illuminate. They wanted to be like the rest of them. They wanted it to be known that they were just as generous as everybody else. Now, God didn't tell them to sell what you had and give it all. They did that on their own accord. But they tried to deceive by their actions. Now, if you note here, did they say anything? Did they say anything at all? Peter didn't say, did you lie to the Holy Ghost? Why has Satan filled your heart? Your actions display a lie. You didn't say anything. Peter discerned. He discerned it. You're not lying to men, but you're lying to God. Now, we got to be careful with this because there's a parallel for us for the tithe. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. So here we find that Ananias and Peter discerned. They come in and right away his spirit went, something ain't right. And a word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, hey, they're laying down all this money as if they're giving it all. And Peter got, his spirit rose up within him. He spoke by the Holy Ghost. You're not lying to me. Because this is in your own power. You could have said, well, me and Sapphira are about 65 years of age, and we sold this property, and you know, we're going to think about retirement. We can't work like we used to. We need to keep back part of that, and we're just going to give such a part, and we're going to keep the rest so we can live on. Praise the Lord. Give it with joy. But they try to deceive by their own actions, as if they were giving it all. As if they were as generous as everybody else. Man, that's serious. And Peter said, you ain't lying to me. You lying to the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, what happened? Did Ananias even answer? What happened? He fell down dead and gave up the ghost. He went straight to hell. He went to hell. Remember Revelation 21 and 8? All liars. I hate to say it, but it's on record for you and I to observe. He didn't just say a lie. He just didn't tell you he's going to meet you at such a time and show up 2 hours later. He didn't say anything. But his actions displayed deceit in the house of God. You know. And the apostle of God discerned it. And so he said, okay. Deacons, pick him up and take him out. And bury him. Later on, his wife come in. Right? Sapphira. She comes into the house of God trying to illuminate. As if we're doing everything like everybody else. Right? And Peter said, I discern the same old nasty deceit. And he asked, he said, hey,
Did you sell the property for such an amount of money?
Yeah, we sold it. Now she spoke, if I'm reading that right. Is that right? Let's see what happens here. Let's go back here. Acts chapter 5 and 6. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea." Her confession. "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which had buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway, kaboom, at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon all as many as heard these things. This passage of Scripture is on record for you and I. They wanted to shine. But you see, if Ananias and Sapphira would have been real people, real like they were with one believer, are with 100 believers. But they wanted to project an image. And the image they had to get into deceit. They had to defy their conscience. They had to. Every time somebody sins, you've got to say, "Shh, conscience, shut up." And you go on and say or do what you want to do. You know, we noted, you know, coming over here, beautiful day, and there's a lot of people busy about a lot of things. We've seen trucks and horse trailers and trucks with motorcycles, and we've seen boats pulled behind trucks, and everybody's doing a lot of wonderful, and that's okay if God gives you that window to do that thing. But there's a lot of them lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they've accepted a lie. Oh, it don't take all that. You know, the Bible says straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And a few there'll be that'll find it. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, it says. You see, you want to watch over your words because your words, the Bible says, by these words you shall be justified or condemned. Words are very important. Now let's look at your sheet. Thank you, Jesus. So the desire is to have a good self-image. Now we discussed on the other sheet, how do you gain honor? By projecting a good image. You see how closely related these things are? And you have to open your heart to deception. Satan has filled his heart. He had to dwell on this thing. All you got to do is just, nobody's going to know. You just give it like everybody else. And everything's fine. Just keep smiling, keep praising the Lord. Just give it like everybody else. And everything will be fine. But you know, and again, you can study the book of Lamentations the book of Numbers, and you'll find that they kept a record of all the she-goats and all this other stuff, and you read it, just makes you yawn almost. But there's so many that God kept a record of everything. Why did he do that? Because he wants us to give an account. He keeps an account of everything you do. Now, God sees when man don't see. But see, on your sheet, you'll find the branch or the motion. The action is hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy means play acting, just like Hollywood, play acting. You disguise, you portray another character. Hypocrisy means the same thing. And so Jesus continually, he says, don't be as the hypocrites. Those that are play acting, don't be like them. Be true to every man, you know. Be true to yourself first. Don't walk in hypocrisy. I had a situation last week where I was called on to bid on a job. And there's some issues around this job. I pulled up to this office and one of the guys they're wanting to get rid of. And they consider wanting me to do the work. And they kind of wanted it done undercover. So they had me to come up and at a set time after hours and give them a quote. Well, just so happened, this guy drives by. And he knows something's up because I'm in the lawn care business. And why am I? That's what he does for this company. Well, I said, I tell you what we'll do. I said, I do tree work as well. You got any trees I can bid on while I'm here? He said, in fact, we do have some tree work. I said, well, so I'm here. I want to look at the trees, and we'll discuss that other later. And sure enough, this guy wanted to know, what was I doing there? And they laughed about it. They said, Billy, you're quick. You didn't want to lie. You didn't want no kind of lie while you were there. I said, I want to be true to him. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I can bid the grass, but I'll bid the trees too. And so again, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm forced to maybe have to lie. Because if you tell one lie, you got to come back and cover it with another lie. And then if you come back and tell the truth, boy, it just gets ugly. It'd be better to be true to begin with at the start, wouldn't it? You know. So don't be a hypocrite. A hypocrite is the play acting or the disguise that we want to project. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You see, if you lie to somebody, you deceive them from who you really are. You deceive them. You know, at the bottom of your sheet, you'll find that preachers many times will lie too. The Bible says there'll be false prophets. False. So they're liars. There'll be people that'll teach the word, but they'll teach the word to just try to heap people together and deceive the heart of the simple. The Bible says there'll be preachers that will teach the word and they'll arrest the scriptures to their own destruction. They'll pull it out to make it fit whatever's going on because they want to shine. They want to illumine before the body. Teachers having itching ears so the people will be tickled. Let me share this with you. Prophecy, many times, is not accepted in the church. Oh, we don't believe in prophecy. We don't believe in prophets. We don't even believe in that Holy Ghost thing either. That's a false doctrine. That's a lie, isn't it? It's a lie. And so it's a sad thing that somebody can take the Word of God and use the very Word of God to quench this Holy Spirit from ever working in a service. People say, what do you believe? I say, I believe the Bible. And I'm learning. I don't know it all. That's a big book. I believe the Bible. And I hope you believe it too. I ain't going to try to add to it, and I don't want to take away from it. So again, they say, well, are you Baptist? Well, I know what you don't know what I believe. You don't know nothing about what I believe. Well, he's a Baptist church. Well, we know what you believe. We categorize. Well, you can't categorize. That name says Baptist, but I believe in all the power gifts, and I can demonstrate in most of them. I believe in apostolic anointing. I believe in a lot of, I believe the Bible. So you'll find that in the last days that people are going to reject the simple truths of the Word of God. The simple truths. They'll be false to themselves. You know, the old expression is for preachers is, you know, you try to tell people, live so I don't have to lie at your funeral. And preachers do that. Oh, he was saved and he loved God. He ain't never been in church. Right? It's sad.
Yeah.
And the Bible says if the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall in the ditch. They're all going to hell. And they always say, well, let's get so-and-so to do the funeral because he's going to lie. Basically what they're saying. Oh, so-and-so was a drunk. He never did go to church. He hated his wife. He cheated on her. And you're going to say, oh, he's in heaven, resting in peace. This is the truth, isn't it? Right? And well, some of the folks around Herbert, they said, well, if you get Billy to do it, he ain't going to lie. I don't want that on me. I don't want their blood on my hands. I won't even talk about it. Laying up there, I'll talk about the Bible. I said, you must be born again.
Yes.
You must be born again, otherwise you can't get into the kingdom of God. I won't even say nothing about the person up there. They've lived their life and they're gone. But what about you?
Yeah.
Do you know Jesus?
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth.
Amen.
And so you find preachers are lying all the time.
Yeah.
And they got a whole lot of blood on their hands. And they're going to give an account. You see, Ananias, he couldn't even answer Peter. God says, I'm going to call him up to give an account to me. Peter said, why has Satan fell down dead? Peter didn't know what was going to happen, but he discerned that this man was deceitful and trying to project an image to illuminate. You know, people come in with three-piece suits on, and you can smell the whiskey on their breath. Get real. It ain't about that. Trying to project a good image. So we know that this word, liar, all liars, you should have a guard over your mouth in all that you say. The Bible says, be slow to speak, swift to hear. You know, you're going to give an account of every idle word. These little stories and gestures, you better be careful. The Bible says that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you need to think on these things. If somebody's deceitful, you need to run from them. Because what happens is you'll end up catching that nasty spirit. You know, it's sad. But people will try to draw you in to seduce you to pick up that old nasty lying spirit. If you promise somebody you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, you better bust the gut to get there. Or you need to call them, hey, something come up. I can't be there. It's going to be another half an hour. Be true. You know, you're soldiers, and a soldier is very disciplined. Be disciplined about all that you do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We'll pick up the latter part of this when we discuss the principalities and how these other spirits work to help draw you deeper into this, the spirit of lying. Father, we thank you today for your word. And God, we thank you that you are encouraging us. You said to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. God, this is a good example. Ananias and Sapphira. Help us in every aspect, even in our giving, Lord. We pray, Father, that we will take this word of God. And Father, that the word of God will help us manifest the fruit of righteousness. For these things were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. God, I pray that you touch every soul under the sound of my voice today. Father, I discern that we're to close this service, Lord, and we're going to just ask God that you bless your people today and bless them throughout this week. Father, enrich their hearts by your word. For God, you cannot lie. And you've covenanted with us that we should obtain the promises of God. And Father, I thank you today in Jesus' precious name. God, we give you glory in this house. We bless your name right now, Father. God, we ask that you will work a wonder
in us,
God, that we might do your will. In Jesus' precious name. Let everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed in his presence. Greet somebody before you leave. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to like, comment, and share. We love you all. And God bless. May there be